if you come expecting Tommy, apologies. But Tommy texted me this morning to say he's pretty tired on for, I don't think he's really got to sleep the last 2 days with all the traveling, the way the times have worked. So he just asked if he'd take service tonight, and you know, you should always be ready to speak to the Lord. And just asked the Lord, you know, this morning when he texted, I just said, Lord, give me something. And within a very short space of time, I believe the Lord did give me something. And I believe that. And maybe when you hear it, you might. And if you don't worry about it. But let's turn to John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. Let's just bow for a word of prayer this evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you and approach you once again in and through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you're here tonight and in our midst and not the place, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, our prayer is that you would come, be one of our number, and have thy way and have free course in this service tonight. Help us to worship you and help us to praise you. Help us to give you all the glory, all the honour and all the praise, for you alone are worthy of it. And Lord, we pray for all the prayer requests that's in people's hearts and in people's minds, and that's maybe already been mentioned. And Lord, we pray even for the McDonald family, that they'll be comforted, Lord, in the death of their grandfather. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for that whole family circle, that you just be with them now. But we know, Lord, that if their granda is a saved man, Lord Jesus Christ, that they have the hope that one day they'll see him again if they know you as their own and personal Saviour. Lord, we trust in that it's so. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you give me what I ought to speak. Lord, that's not of myself, but something from you that will bless and encourage. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It's just, as I said, it's just this morning, and it's like, well, you know, what could I speak about tonight? And I just happened to have the radio on, and then if you any of you are football fans, I don't really follow the football, but you know, if you're any of you are football fans, Gary Smith, he's maybe a Liverpool supporter, is he? Must be. But if you're a football fan this morning, all you can hear on the radio is about one of the greatest comebacks. One of the greatest comebacks in history. And I turned this radio on, and that's all I was talking about Liverpool beating Barcelona 4-0, coming back from a 3-0 down. And then somebody was saying about the five greatest comebacks in the history of sport. And I thought, you know, well, there's the sermon tonight. What's the greatest comeback in the world? You know what the greatest comeback in the world is? It's been the Lord's return. That'll be the greatest comeback. In the natural, there's maybe things like football, and that's all good. And it's good to have an interest. And, you know, that's people maybe, I remember years ago being places, and it was actually in Germany, Yule and myself, just Yule's here, Yule is here, and the time we went to Germany, that's 1987, went to a big youth camp, and you know, it was a great time, I really enjoyed it, we had a good time, and up one of the stages, one of the parts that had like wee five-a-side football matches, you know, it was good fun, but people get overboard. And you can see where different doctrines is coming in, and then, you know, somebody, not to put a negative spin on it, but somebody didn't want to be England and didn't want to have teams England against Germany or Germany against France, because that's the spirit of nationalism. You know, it takes it too much of an extreme. Why didn't they just get on with it, enjoy it? It's just a sport. Well, it's only a bit of fun, it's a bit of, as we would say here, a bit of crack. But you know, us man's thinking, and us, like us even in the, us what was in youth was been in the mind of some of them youth already at that stage, where you know, it was so, you just couldn't really move. There was no freedom with that. It was just something, somebody had put that on them and they were just regurgitating it. But there's a lot of things in the world that can be regurgitated. A lot of sayings, like I said, the greatest comeback. But the greatest comeback is going to be when the Lord returns.
Amen.
That's the greatest comeback. When he comes back to earth again. Isn't that it? We have read here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Ye believe in God. That's the biggest problem that we have in society today. People do not believe in God. They do not believe in the things of God. They have no respect for the word of God. And their gods is maybe their football team, maybe some idol. Like I said before, maybe the car, whatever they have put in that place of worship, that's maybe become their God. But if the Christian, this is to Jesus speaking here, and he's speaking to the disciples, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he tells them about heaven, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So Jesus is putting it straight here. He's not going to tell you a lie. He's not in the business of telling lies. Who was the one to start telling the lies? It was Satan in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Where he's come to Eden, he says, hath God said? Knowing well that God had said that the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. And that was the beginning of lies there. That was the father of lies. But Jesus, he's telling it straight. When somebody says, he tells it straight. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. That's the words of Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I will come again.
Amen.
And you know, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
So there's the sermon. Where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
What does that take in? That takes in the rapture, the catching away of the saints of God. That Jesus says, when I come again, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven.
Amen.
Where are we going to be as a Christian? You know what your final destination is? It's in the glory and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In that heavenly city. It says in Acts chapter 1, in verse 11, where Jesus had went then. I just turned it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, well, in verse 10, or we'll go to verse 9. And Jesus has been caught up here. And it says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up on a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This was two angels of the Lord. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So there's the gospel. What is? People that don't believe in a catching up or the Lord returning again. Here you have it in black and white. Where when Jesus left, he sent two angels, two messengers. You know, isn't it something that two messengers went down into Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah.
Here's two messengers here that telling the church here that Jesus will come again in like manner. And then there will be two messengers come again back to the Jews, Moses and Elijah. And you'll read about that in Revelations and how they'll perform those great miracles. But you know what? They won't be received. What will they do? They'll kill them and they'll leave their bodies to lie in the streets. But God will raise their bodies up again.
Amen.
And they'll all see it. And then that's just before the return of the Lord. It says, so there you have where the scriptures again says where you'll see him come in like manner. But what is the difference? Maybe in us as a Christian and maybe some more people that call themselves Christian. It's the belief and the understanding that one day that you will go to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And if you don't die, that the Lord will catch you up.
Right.
You know, you have to have that belief. People talk about the bride has made herself ready. And we know that God is calling the bride out. We heard Brother Billy talking about it, that this message is to prepare a bride. It's to the bride. It's to prepare the bride. And what it's belief. You have to believe. That football team, when you listen to the news, you hear them saying that that team is full of belief. The Christian ought to be full of belief.
Yeah.
If the Christian isn't full of belief, it's like putting a restrictor on. It's like if you have an engine and it should have 200 horsepower, but you put a restrictor on it and you can only get 80 horsepower out of it, instead of being able to go down the road with a trailer on or whatever and have a ball of power, when you put the foot down, you know what happens? When you put the foot down, nothing happens. It's restricted. And that's the Christian that doesn't believe in these things. The Christian that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. It's a big old restrictor on them. That's what it is. They have no power. There's no power to overcome. But we as Christians ought to believe, because the word tells us to believe. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Well, how are you saved? You're saved by calling on the name of the Lord and believing on it.
Amen.
There's lots of people calling the name of the Lord every day, but it's not in a way where we would call upon the name of the Lord. They're actually using it as a blasphemous name.
Amen.
When they mention the Lord's name, they're not calling upon the name of the Lord in a sense where they're using their faith or they're believing in it. They're just using it as a swear word. Excuse me. But you must have belief. In Titus 2 and 13 it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ." So Paul talking here, he says, looking for. If you're looking for something, you're searching for it. You're expecting to get it.
No.
The Christian ought to be in a position where that you're expecting the Lord that He could come back any moment.
Amen.
Any minute, any time of any day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living your life where you think that the Lord will not come back, that He's maybe not come back for 10 or 20 years, you know, what does that mean? It'll get you into a state where you're lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get you into a state where maybe, you know, I'll not go to a prayer meeting this week, sure, I'll go next week. I'll maybe miss a Sunday morning, I'll go the Sunday night. It's a state of lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
Lackadaisicalness. Laziness.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest plagues that Christians have in this world today. Laziness. For the things of God. It's alright for the pastor to be there. It's alright maybe for the deacons, song leaders, elders. Well, maybe there's the regulars. But you have to personalize it, because you know it's a personal relationship,
yeah,
with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But somebody said God has no grandchildren, He's only sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And if you get to that state, I'm not saying that you are, but if somebody gets to that state, what does it do? It creates an opening for the devil to come in and to hoodwink them. And the thing is, he'll not come in maybe at once and just jump on them. He'll do it real subtle. In the Garden of Eden, as I've said, he only changed one word. He said, "Half," God said. You know, he'll maybe come in and he'll say, "Well, you know, you're tired tonight. Sure, you'll go next week to a meeting or whatever." And the next thing, maybe you're missing an hour meeting. And then he has you, maybe only one meeting in the month. You know, you know what you really need in a case like that? You need a good shake. You need somebody in the spiritual to come and hit you a smack in the cross the side of the face. You know, because what does it do? It'll waken you up. I heard a testimony one time of a man where something had happened and a lady went into shock. And he walked up to her and he hit her slap right across the side of the face. And the people around him were actually rebuked him. But he said in his first day of training, that's what they taught him to do. Was to get their attention by hitting her a slap in the face. Maybe spiritually, some of us need a slap in the face. You know, maybe some of us, it might sound rough, it might, but you know what? Isn't it better now, getting it now, than someday when the Lord returns and the bride goes, that somebody's left behind? Wouldn't it be far worse then? Maybe, you know, It's easy maybe for me to stand here and say that. But, Christian, when you see it all around us, the world around us, and you think of what's going on in the world and how the media and all talk about Christian faith, how in our politics, you know, just recently I can see our politics, how lackadaisical one of our parties has got.
Right.
A party within the last 10 years
right.
is nearly unrecognisable.
Right.
And that's just in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because they allow a wee bit and they give a wee bit.
Right.
And then the pressure of the world comes upon them. And maybe, you know, we'll have to be more open. We'll have to maybe appeal to this, or we'll have to appeal to everybody. We'll have to treat everybody the same. And then the next thing, the door's open and something's in. And it's no longer a party that you could maybe give your vote to, because excuse me, because you know maybe then wee things will get in, but then you know what will follow that? Maybe the next thing will be, well, maybe what about equal marriage? Maybe we'll let the homosexuals marry. You know they have the right to marry too. And then the next thing will be, well, we'll let them adopt the child. We'll let them rear that child together. And if you say anything about it, we'll put a penalty on you. You might even go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing will be, well, we don't really like that them lovely group there now, they're non-denomination. I don't really like what they're preaching. Maybe we should get them stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we say, well, that group there, we don't like what they're preaching. We'll put a ban on them. We'll watch them. And if they give any bar, maybe we'll have to arrest some of them or put them in jail for a few days. Didn't we see what happened? Gary's going to have James McConnell at the House meeting. Didn't you see a couple of years ago what happened when he mentioned Islam?
Yeah.
They pressed, and they're actually pressed, they tried to get that man in jail. For what? For telling them about that for saying that it was a doctrine spawned, a religion spawned in hell. He told them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
It come from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a popular view today, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the sort of things, and Christians are falling for it. Christians are letting them go. So-called Christians were I heard there again on the radio this morning where it was something about that a political thing. And the guy asked, he says, well, are you saying that somebody that was gay or whatever, that they can't be a Christian? You know, people, you know what should be happening? Ministers of the gospel in these big denominations, if they really believe the gospel, they should be ringing in. Could you just imagine Ian Paisley when he was here, what he would have told them?
Mm-hmm.
He'd have told them without doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, there's no way they're a Christian.
Right.
How could they be a Christian when they deny the word of God?
Right.
The next thing will be abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be death on demand for a child. I said it before, what's the difference in a child that they say after, is it 24 weeks, that it is viable, but before that 24 weeks is not viable? You know, who made that decision? Who come up? Who was the man or the woman that come to that decision where they could just pronounce a death sentence on the child at that age?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, what do they mean not viable? Can it not look after itself? Would it live on its own? Well, if it goes to full term and the child's 2 weeks old, I've said this before,
mm-hmm.
is a 2 week old child viable?
Mm-hmm.
Can it feed itself? Can it keep itself warm? Can it look after itself? It can't do any of that. You know, what does it do? It depends on its mother.
Amen.
It depends on its mother for its food, for its heat, for comfort. That's what it depends on. And the only difference is, for 9 months it's dependent inside the womb on that, and for maybe 9 years it's dependent on it outside the womb. But there's no difference. It's just man's intellect has got to a point where he knows better than God. But we need to be believing Christians. We need to be expecting Christians.
Right.
It says in What does it say in Matthew 28? This is what happened when they went to the tomb of Jesus. Well, here we'll even go to chapter 27, the last few verses of it. Matthew 27. This is after Jesus is crucified. This is when, at one stage, you're probably the most religious city in the world, Jerusalem. And all those really religious men, and they could trace their religion back hundreds of years. They could say, Abraham's our father. That's what they could say. But what did they do? They asked for a murderer to be released unto them, and they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, what was the disciples doing? They'd all sort of, as John preached a sermon one time, where was it Peter or John said, I go fishing? Was that Peter? Peter said, I go fishing. They'd really quickly forgot. And some of them had got in an awful state. You know, they were really mourning. But what had these religious men? They'd said in verse 62, this is the day after Jesus was crucified. It says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. These men here remembered that Jesus had said that. Do you read anywhere where the disciples saying that? Were they saying, well, Jesus said he's going to rise on the third day again? You don't read that. But here's these men, these religious men, and they remembered this. And they said, this man said he's going to rise after 3 days. Come on, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. But here in verse 28, here's the difference. It says, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. So when all these disciples were mourning and moping about, maybe, or going to do some other things, here was two women had come to the sepulchre. And if you read it, even up in verse 61, it'll say, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. They were there even before that. And here they are again coming. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So they witnessed it. Mary Magdalene and our Mary, and these keepers that Pilate had given them the watch, these men witnessed this. And it says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So there is the angel of the Lord has come. And it says, he is not here, he is risen. Where was he? He is risen. He had went in them 3 days, and he'd led captivity captive. You'll read in Matthew 12, and verse 40, where they were seeking a sign. He says, there'll be no sign given them except the sign of Jonas the prophet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so should the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Mm-hmm. And here's it fulfilled. What else was fulfilled? In Psalm 16 and verse 10 it says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. These were prophecies. David had prophesied that his holy one would not see corruption. Was it 4 days the Jews believed that corruption set into the body? Before that there might have been a chance. But after 4 days they reckoned there was no chance for anybody to come back from the dead. And here is the angel coming, and he's showing them that these have been fulfilled. He says, he is not here, he is risen. And what did they do? He says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And then they departed quickly and went. And when they met the with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And these women, they believed.
Yes.
When they met the angel of the Lord, they believed. Mm-hmm. They believed that he was risen. What did they do? They ran to tell the disciples. Mm-hmm. And you're reading different accounts where some of the disciples rebuked them when they got to the door where they were, and told them they were like mad women. But then what happened? Jesus appeared in the midst to them. That's what Jesus done. And that was in the natural, that was back then. But you know, one day he's going to appear again. Is it what did we read? He says, I will come again. And in Thessalonians, we all know it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's take your time and find it. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's a rapture. You know, that's the promise to come. That's the greatest comeback of all. It's when the Lord returns. You can also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just turned it. In verse 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on corruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not really a whole lot more I want to say. I want to give us time to pray. But if there's something that I would leave with you, it's that in this world there's a lot of things that you can rejoice over in the natural. You can put maybe your trust in. You'll hear a lot of sayings, but you have to, as we as Christians, we need to be a people that's watching, a people that's waiting, a people that's expectation. We ought to expect the best that God has got for us. We ought to expect when the gospel's preached that if there's a sinner in our service, that they'll be saved. We ought to expect when the gospel's preached that if there's somebody that needs healing, a touch of healing upon their body, that they'll be healed. Because, you know, the word of God speaks about it. It says, lay hands on the sick that I may recover. It tells the elders to call the elders and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it'll be forgiven them. We need to expect them. We need to be a people that's believing with all our heart that they're going to happen. And sometimes you'll get discouraged. But there's one thing that's sure, and that's the word of the Lord. You know, my prayer is, and my expectation is, that in these services, these special services that Gary's going to have and Ruth at their house, that souls are going to be saved. Amen. That's my prayer. That's my expectation. And if Jesus said in his word that he would come again, and then I can show you from the word of God where it says that he will come again, and not only that he'll come away again, but that he will take a bride away. If I can show you that in the word of God, then you ought to believe it. But then when I can show you in the word of God where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you ought to believe that too. And if I can show you in it where it says, through the foolishness of preaching, that God has planned, that that's how men and women would come to Him and know Him as their own and personal Saviour. We ought to believe it. And not only believe it, expect it. There's lots more you could say. I don't want to take up too much time. I want us to pray. Because it's alright maybe standing here and that going on and trying to maybe bring out more stuff, but I really, you know, I think it's really a good job when we can come together in agreement. Where two or three of us can agree. It's touching anything. If we can ask, two or three of us can ask, believing God said He'll do it. And I want us tonight, if we can come and pray, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to sit down. And then, if you want to pray, you pray. If you want to sing, sing. Well, let us try to make maybe to make an atmosphere of worship where the Lord would please that Holy Spirit to come. And where, you know, God will hear and answer our prayers. And the whole world, you know, there's talk on the now with this football match where people, the flights, if they want to go out now to the final of this Champions League, where flights have went from maybe £150 to £500 for a flight alone, where hotels have went up maybe £300 or £400. But you know, even at that, they still expect maybe 60,000 Liverpool supporters will go to that final. 60,000! They'll reckon even go there, even if they don't get a ticket for the match that they'll head. And that's what they'll do for something that they really believe in and that they really support.
Yeah.
But if we really support our meetings and really support what we believe in, we ought to take the opportunity that we get. An opportunity when we can come in here and you can put the things of the world behind you. Whatever happened today in work, you can put it behind you.
Amen.
Whatever happened at school, put it behind you. Whatever happened at home, put it behind you. If the kids have been playing up, forget about it. We're here now and we're in this place for one reason, and that's to meet with the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, we're privileged that we can do that because there's a lot of people tonight and they're meeting, but they're not meeting with the Lord. They're meeting with something else. They're coming in, we heard before, maybe the prayers are not going any higher than the roof. But we have a hope tonight. We have a hope that when we pray that God hears us. Why? Because we pray in faith. And we know that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.